Ben, what's your favourite fire cooking technique?
Nothing fancy, just goat satay cooked over coconut husk flames in Lombok with a dude fanning the coals with a cardboard fan.
Okay. We'll put in the request to the people at Vivid Fire Kitchen, which is exactly what it sounds like. Vivid Fire Kitchen is a pop-up running as part of Vivid from May 24 to June 15 at the Goods Line in the Sydney CBD, and it's all about cooking with fire. Tandoor, teppanyaki, First Nations food, tender brisket, charred veggies and aromatic satay, to name a few.
With hand-fanned coconut husks?
No promises?
Vivid Fire Kitchen, proudly sponsoring this episode of Ingridipedia.
This is Ingridipedia Bites, where every other week we put some of our favourite chefs and foodie friends on the spot by asking them to open their fridges, pantries and kitchen cupboards. So, it only seems fair that we do it to ourselves too. It was my turn a few weeks ago and now it's the other Ingridipedia co-host turn. So let's see what avid kitchen utensil collector, creative director and musician Ben Birchall has to say when he gets grilled. Ben, thank you for making the time in your day to join me on Ingridipedia Bites.
Thanks for having me, Emily. I've always really been curious as to what this is all about. Mm.
Okay, first question. What's the last thing you ate?
The last thing I ate was last night. I haven't eaten today. Because every chef we talk to just has coffee for breakfast. So I just want to be like, Jake from Mortadelli or Andy Herndon, like just... black coffee,
It's not good for you, Ben. It's 11:30 a.m. Come on.
Fair. No, I haven't eaten today yet.
Yeah, but what was the last thing you ate?
The last thing I ate was a Kit Kat.
Yes. Okay, that's good. You're redeemed.
Last night. All right, good.
What kitchen tool do you like using the most? I know you have a few.
I've got a few. I've got to say my Super Ben Rinner Japanese mandolin is just, I just couldn't live without it. Sometimes I go on holidays and I've often thought about bringing it with me if I'm ever like staying at an Airbnb or like a service department, because it's just so useful for making a really quick slaw, slicing up potatoes really finely to put on the barbecue, pickling carrots, julienning apple. It's just, it does it all. And it's not super expensive, but just like, so for like cost per use, it would have to be my absolutely most valuable and most valued kitchen utensil.
Mm. And you speak about it so highly that I recently got one myself and have only sliced up potato and carrot and cucumber so far. But yes. I had a really fun time and I still have
for
all
pickling?
My... No, the potato is for pizza and yeah. I cut it so fine that the pizza was like, the pizza apart from the potato was a nightmare. I stuffed up the dough for some reason, but the potatoes, perfect. Okay. What is taking up the most room in your fridge?
Leftovers at the moment. Had a roast last night that was cooked for me by my mother-in-law, who makes an amazing roast, but there's like a huge thing of cauliflower cheese that I think I'm probably going to smash after we speak. Yeah, it's always leftovers. There's like always like a chicken frame that sits there for too long and I should turn into a stock, and there's just like random leftover bits. That's what it is at the moment.
And now moving down or up to your freezer, what's the best thing in there?
Stock. Chicken stock. I try every time we have a roast chicken, I try and just always take the leftover bits and like even like the bones that have been picked clean, just put it all in a pot with half an onion and a couple of like maybe some bay leaves or maybe not even that, and just boil that until you get some good stock and keep that in the freezer, because it's always useful for making a risotto or making a paella or throwing in soups. So there's always chicken stock in my freezer.
So are you of the opinion that bay leaves add something?
I don't know. I don't know what it adds. I think it's more like it feels like it adds something.
Yeah.
Like we always put it in our bolognese. And we've got a bay tree as well. So they're kind of fresh and, you know, it feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But does it taste like anything? Don't know. Jury's out.
We'll have to do a bay leaf episode.
Okay.
What's your favorite quick snack?
I mean, I've talked about a lot of snacks over the years on Ingridipedia, but like I still love lap chong, just some thinly sliced lap chong, Chinese sausage. You give it a little fry up, add a little ketchup mayonnaise. That is an absolute god tier snack.
Classic Ben. What's your favorite chip packet?
It would have to be one of the Chappies varieties. I love the packaging and I love like the quality and I love the flavors. But yeah, there's a little ritual I have, and I try not to do it too often because I would end up very unhealthy. But Mortadelli in Torquay, I think I've spoken about it once or twice on the podcast. But you know, grab one of the sandwiches from Mortadelli and a pack of Chappies dill pickle chips, and that is just what an incredible lunch. That actually, maybe I'm not going to have that leftover cauliflower cheese. I think I might have to go and get that now.
And I'm glad to hear that you've moved on from your cauliflower puff era. Congratulations.
Yeah I sort of did the cauliflower puffs or the kale chips for a while. Yeah, look, you know, when you actually dig under the surface, none of those healthy chips are actually any healthier, so you might as well just enjoy life.
Okay, what's your favorite hot sauce?
Oh, I mean, for what? Like,
for anything.
Because probably if I go back in time to re-answer what takes up the most room in your fridge, it's probably hot sauce. Like, I'm not quite Paulie V levels, but like I've probably got 15 hot sauces. I think the best all-round is Tapatio. It's just classic. You can have it at breakfast. You can have it on, obviously, on any kind of Latin American food. Interestingly, that's Californian hot sauce as well. It's not actually Mexican. It's created by a Mexican-American hot sauce manufacturer. That's probably my go-to. I've usually got two or three bottles of that on the go at any various time. You know, there's some other ones that I love all the El Yucateco hot sauces, particularly the that sort of sweet smoky chipotle one. Again, you can have it for breakfast. You can have it like it's got a lot of uses. But then, you know, there's always some sriracha in there as well, which again, very, very applicable across lots of different types of cuisine, which is the mark of a good hot sauce.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop you there before you take us through the other 12 and move on to what is the best. I know you said you didn't have breakfast today, but I want to know, what is the best breakfast you've ever had?
I've ever had is tough. I mean, when I was a kid, we traveled a lot and I lived in Asia, and I just love a breakfast buffet, like from the age of, I guess, 5 or 6 when I left Australia. I just, whenever there was a breakfast buffet, I was just the happiest person in the world. I just love picking my way through it. I especially love an Asian breakfast buffet when there's nasi goreng and just like weird, you know, things to discover. Like there's just, I still love them. Even an ordinary breakfast buffet is just a great experience. Number two is probably yamcha.
Yeah.
Like just holding out until about 10 a.m. and just smashing so much yamcha. As you would know from the tea episode, the cha from yamcha means tea, you know, like it's meant to be a breakfast or a brunch food. And but like if I had to go like one specific dish at one specific place, there's Boon Cafe in Sydney. It's a Thai cafe and grocer in sort of Chinatown, Little Thailand, in Sydney. And they do this they do everything amazingly, but they just do these like eggs with like a fish sausage, heaps of coriander, lots of like chili jam. Anytime I'm in Sydney, I will just manufacture a way to be in that part of town between 7 a.m. and like 11, because I just crave it. And there's nothing like it in Melbourne. I haven't found anything like it in Melbourne or Geelong or Torquay or anywhere where I'm, where I spend time. So if anybody can tell me if there's a good Thai breakfast somewhere in Victoria, let me know. I will travel for it.
And what is your favorite recipe that you know off by heart?
I mean, I think it's Jamie Oliver's risotto recipe. I've been cooking it for probably 24 years or 25 years, if you sort of think about. And I think, I mean, we talk about Jamie a little bit on Ingredipedia, but like, he was such a revelation for me as like a 19, 20 year old or whatever I was when The Naked Chef came out, that first cookbook. It just really gave me the confidence. Like, I'd always loved cooking and I'd learned how to cook from my grandpa. And I knew that cooking was a good thing to do, but it just gave like so many great basics, like his roast chicken in that, like, just, I'd never thought to push butter under the skin of a chicken, or, you know, there's just so many staples in that. I either stick to the principles I learned from that book, or I literally follow those recipes to this day. And the risotto is one that I can do it off by heart now. I've done it so many times. And I'm sure there's purists out there who would just be going, oh, get a real Italian risotto recipe. And I agree, but like, the best recipes are the ones you use, right?
Mm.
And it's super user-friendly and it always turns out well.
Yep. Love Jamie. So this is related to our favorite chefs, but not Jamie. I want to ask you, when it comes to cooking, are you more Maggie or are you more Simon?
I'm definitely more Maggie. I'm not, you know, I'm not a chef. I'm not trained. I don't know how to do commercial quantities of anything. I can't extrapolate things out. Like, I cook by feel. I cook with, you know, with love like Maggie does. I named my daughter after her. I'm definitely more Maggie.
Really? You give off Simon vibes a bit.
That's because I'm a little bit rocked out and like maybe was a raver in my past. Is that what you mean?
It's more the chain smoking. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay. And what's the next thing you'll probably eat?
Well, it's a toss up now between eating some of that leftover roast that's taking up the room in my fridge or nicking around the corner and getting the deli sandwich from Mortadelli with some chappies. Can't decide.
Why not both? Have a party.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Okay, Ben, well, thank you very much for giving us an insight into your eating habits and kitchen. Very insightful. And I actually learned things. I expected to know everything, but I definitely didn't. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
Thanks for listening. Our main ingredient-based episodes are shared every other week, so we'll see you then. This podcast was produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Wadawurrung people, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. Ben, I can smell smoke. Did you finally kill every appliance in this studio?
No, Em, that's just the waft of perfectly smoking embers from Vivid Fire Kitchen, which is exactly what it sounds like, a pop-up kitchen running as part of Vivid from May 24 to June 15 at the Goods Line in the Sydney CBD, and it's all about cooking with fire. Tandoor, teppanyaki, First Nations food, tender brisket, charred veggies, and aromatic satay, to name a few.
That sounds a lot better than your jaffles, Ben. No offence.
Offence taken.
Vivid Fire Kitchen, proudly sponsoring this episode of Ingredipedia.